The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Well, that raises some questions, doesn't it? I am Lucas Kitchen, and this is Grace in Focus. For a few weeks now, we've been in a series where we're exploring the various meanings of the words saved and salvation in five different New Testament books. Right now, we are in Hebrews, and we're up to Hebrews 5, verse 9. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to walk us through this interesting discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning into the show. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are studying the subject of salvation in five New Testament books.
Right.
It's really not what you typically hear in a church. It's probably not even typically what you might hear in a seminary classroom setting where you might not even be able to discuss these types of things. Did you know that salvation doesn't always mean eternal salvation, doesn't always mean rescue from hell or the lake of fire and going to heaven when you die? There's all kinds of different salvations taught about in the New Testament. And you have to be careful about reading verses in context, within the context of a passage, within the context of a book, to try to figure out what kind of salvation is being taught there. Now, we've spent the last few episodes going through the book of Hebrews, which I think is that our last book, Bob?
Yeah.
And all of this is going to be in a journal article that Bob is going to publish later in the year for the Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society, probably the autumn 2021 issue. And if you want to hear previous episodes, be sure to check out our website or iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Audible. All those websites have our podcast. But I think we left off at Hebrews 6, 9 is the next occurrence of the word salvation in the book of Hebrews.
Well, I think we should hit 5, 9. I don't know why I didn't have that in the notes here, but I think we should probably hit 5, 9 before we hit 6, 9, because what was the last one we did?
So Hebrews 2, 10 is the captain of our salvation. I don't see 5:9 in our notes, but we can go to 5:9. Let's do that.
All right, let's go there because, believe it or not, this is the only reference in the Bible to the expression eternal salvation.
Eternal salvation. And that's something
that doesn't talk about what we normally mean by eternal salvation.
So maybe that's something that we need to change because we talk about eternal salvation
right
all the time.
We just use it as kind of shorthand for everlasting life or being in Jesus' kingdom or part of his forever family or being justified. So sometimes we'll say eternal salvation. But why don't you read 5:9? And this is another use of soteria, the noun for salvation.
All right. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Now, I know what a lot of people were going to say. See, guys, eternal salvation is not by faith. It's through obedience. Faith is a part of it, but you need to obey to have eternal salvation. It says so right here.
Right. In fact, what a lot of people do, a lot of pastors do this, a lot of lay people do this, is they say in some places, like John 3:16, it just talks about believing. In other places, it talks about repenting.
Right.
In other places, like here in Hebrews 5:9, it talks about obeying.
Right.
Well, believe includes all those things. So if you believe, you obey. If you believe,
right.
you turn from your sins. If you really believe, yeah, right? So believing includes whatever any. You could find 10 different requirements to be born again in the New Testament. And you add them all into belief. Well, the truth is those aren't conditions for being born again. Those are conditions for being saved. And saved in the New Testament, most of the time, 7 times out of 10, refers to something other than having everlasting life or being eternally secure. Notice if we go up to verse 8, in verse 8 talking about Jesus, the author of Hebrews says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the word obey occurs in verse 9.
Yeah.
And remember, we looked at Hebrews 2:10 last time. He's the captain of their salvation or our salvation, right? That's being Christ's partners in the life to come. And the same thing is true here. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Well, of course, he knew obedience from the standpoint that he had always been obedient to the will of the Godhead, and he had never done anything disobedient. He is incapable of sinning, and always has been and always will be. But the truth is, in an experiential sense, he learned obedience, mm-hmm. and he learned it through suffering. As he suffered through his 3.5 years of ministry with being persecuted and people ridiculing him, etc., and then, of course, in his trials and his beatings, his scourging, his carrying his cross, his going to the cross and his dying on the cross, all that was part of his suffering.
Right.
The point is, we, as we suffer with Christ and for Christ, well, then we too are obeying, and we then will be his partners, his metakoi, Hebrews 1:9, in the life to come.
And so I think that's important to remember, right? Because
right.
the goal of Hebrews is he's talking to born-again people. They are on the precipice of making a very bad decision, of possibly leaving Christianity and going back into Judaism.
Right.
And the author of Hebrews is warning them, if you do that, there are consequences. There's negative consequences of this kind of judgment. But more than just the negative consequences, he's giving them a positive goal. Your goal should be to become a companion of the Messiah, which he talks about in the first couple chapters.
Right. And in 1:14, that's called soteria, or salvation. Salvation is not going to heaven when you die. It's not having everlasting life. It's not escaping eternal condemnation. Not in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, salvation is being selected to be Christ's partner in the life to come, to co-rule with Christ.
By the way, why do you think that's called salvation? Like, if I get a promotion here,
right.
well, I work here, but
right.
I can't get a promotion, and there's only like two of us here. But, but let's say someone was working at a corporate office, and they got promoted to be like vice president of
right.
sales. Would he call that a salvation? I got saved today. That would be a
probably
that's
not.
That's weird. So why do we call that salvation?
Well, I think we do because the author of Hebrews
does. Why does he call it salvation?
Well, I think part of the reason, that's a great question. I've never heard that one, but that's good. This is what Sean does to me, people. He asks me these questions without any, there is no warm-up to this. There's no, like, here's what we're going to discuss.
Well, every once in a while, the coffee kicks in
All
and
right.
my brain sparks an idea.
All right, well, here's a thought. This could be wrong, but this is off the top of my head. In the Old Testament, there are many references to the future salvation of Israel. And the future salvation of Israel is never having eternal life, or the people of Israel having eternal life, although that would be included. What it's talking about is Israel being delivered from Gentile domination and having what the Old and New Testament call rest.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Israel will have rest from her enemies. Messiah will be in Jerusalem, ruling over not just Israel, but the whole world.
Mm.
And that is called salvation in the Old Testament. For
right.
example, in Zechariah 9:9-10, Messiah is coming on a donkey, and he's bringing salvation. Well, the salvation he's bringing is brought out in verse 10. That's his worldwide rule and reign
right.
over Israel.
Okay.
And so, when the author of Hebrews is talking about being Christ's partners as salvation, it ties in, I think, with the Old Testament concept of deliverance. In fact, even Romans 11:26, which we talked about in an earlier episode, because we were talking about soteria in Romans, but Romans 11:26 uses the verb sozo, and it says, then all Israel will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
That is, at the end of the tribulation, the entire adult nation will be brought into Messiah's kingdom, and they will all be part of the kingdom.
So I guess that's it. It's because when the Bible talks about salvation, it's not, yes, that includes us not going to the lake of fire, but the big picture is of the Messiah reigning in this righteous kingdom from Jerusalem. And so this idea of him reigning, and a king always has a kingdom.
Right.
with people in the kingdom and people under him.
Exactly.
So that's, this is the salvation we're looking for.
Exactly. And so this salvation in Hebrews is what the Old Testament person would expect, except that it's a bit more even. I mean, they expected that people like David would rule and reign with Messiah.
Right.
They expected Moses to rule and reign with Messiah. But the fact that your average believer could rule and reign with Messiah, this is an exciting truth. Mm. It's something that, sadly, most people in evangelicalism today do not believe.
Right.
Most people in evangelicalism think there are no eternal rewards.
Right.
Everybody's going to have the same experience, and Jesus is going to rule, and we're not.
And it's, I would say they don't even really believe that he's going to rule. It's just some type of ethereal spirit.
Right.
They don't really believe in a real kingdom or Jerusalem and Jesus on the throne and all that
stuff. I mean, I know that was the vagueness I had when I first came to faith. That's the way I was thinking. Well, let's wrap up Hebrews 5:9. The point is, when he says he's the author of eternal soteria, eternal salvation, it means that this rulership with Christ is eternal, which, by the way, is another thing most evangelicals don't believe.
Right.
Most people think that ruling with Christ is millennial, and after the millennium, it ends. And that after the millennium, everybody will have the same experience.
Right.
Well, no, it's an eternal salvation. It's being Christ's partners forever, and it's only for those who have obeyed him.
Okay, I have another question for you. This is happening in this whole chapter about the high priesthood and how Jesus is the high priest according to Melchizedek. Does that make a difference to what the salvation means here? Because we're talking about the ruling. You'd think then he would talk about Jesus as king, but here it's he's the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek.
Well, that's a good question. The book of Hebrews presents Jesus as prophet, priest, and king.
Mm-hmm.
High priest and king, all three. That, of course, the Bible presents him as all three. Why zooming in on Melchizedek? I'd have to think about that some more.
All right. Well, let's think about this, and we'll return to it in the next episode as we kind of continue this discussion of salvation in the book of Hebrews. And guess what, guys? This isn't easy. It's not like not a lot of people have explored these ideas. And so it's not easy for us, and we're asking questions. And you send us your questions to radio@faithalone.org, and we're going to start recording our Q&A again after the end of this series. And if you have questions about salvation in those five New Testament books, then be sure to send them our way.
Thank you, guys, for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to look at Hebrews 6:9, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.